Now listen to part of a lecture on the topic you just read about. It's important to point out that many have argued, quite convincingly, that Globish is, in actual fact, a constructed language. The main argument for categorizing it as constructed, as opposed to natural, is that Jean-Paul Nérier, its creator, hasn't really performed any studies to demonstrate that in business negotiations among non-native English speakers, this particular set of simplified structures and reduced vocabulary actually occurs more naturally or in greater frequency than the forms of standard English. Where Globish does apparently succeed, however, is as an aid in very specific situations, for very specific transactions. So, faced with the challenge of getting key points across in a deal, a Brazilian businessman on his way to a manufacturing plant in provincial China could try using Globish as a starting point. But to view Globish as a sweeping solution to larger problems, like English dominance or proper English as a form of cultural elitism, remains highly problematic, to say the least. I mean, let's say that Brazilian businessman ends up not only making the deal with the Chinese manufacturers, but getting transferred to China as well. Depending on the situation, he'll either want to learn more English or Chinese, conventionally developed languages. Globish's 1,500 words and oversimplified grammar simply won't suffice. And the notion that prescriptive English, standard non-dialectal English, is somehow oppressive is understandable, but not very realistic, I'm afraid. Remember that people who make this argument are linguists, academics, who themselves have striven for an exceptionally strong command of prescriptive English. For them to suggest to the kid from a low-income household who's struggling with basic grammar that the slangy English she and her friends use will get her just as far in life as the English used by those in power, well, quite truthfully, that's not just unrealistic, it's also irresponsible.